Okay. Who is as the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face to shine, and the boldness of his face shall be changed. I counsel you to keep the king's commandment, and that in regard of the oath of God. Be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil thing, for he doeth whatsoever he pleases him. Where the word of a king is, there is power. And who may say unto him, What doest thou? Whoso keeps the commandment shall feel no evil thing, and a wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Because to every purpose there is a time and a judgment, before therefore the misery of man is great upon him. For he knows not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. There is no discharge in that war. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. All this I have seen and applied to my heart unto every work that is done under the sun. There is a time wherein one man rules over another to his own hurt. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had done. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set to do evil. Although a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before God. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. And I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God has given him under the sun. When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the busyness that is done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes. Then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, he shall not be able to find it. It's a powerful passage of Scripture. Who is the wise man? Who has the wise man? Who is the wise, and who knows the interpretation of a what? That word thing is the Hebrew word debar. Who is the wise man who knows the interpretation of the word? What does God consider wise? Somebody who knows what his word says. God looks upon someone as being wise when they know his understanding of his word, the interpretation of his words. A man's wisdom makes his face to shine. Right? A man's wisdom makes him proud. He feels good about himself, doesn't he? And the boldness of his face shall be changed. What's he talking about? Huh? Well, you can see it two ways, because it doesn't say positive or negative here. But it said a man's wisdom, so I kind of see this in a negative way. A negative way, I can see this as pride. Makes him bold, you know, brazen maybe. But in a godly sense, it still makes you bold, doesn't it? And most people can't discern the difference. If someone is confident and knows what they're saying, most people still read them as an arrogant person, right? But someone who knows what they're talking about, it will make their face shine when you know about God's Word. I guarantee you. You ain't got no choice. What else can you do? When you see the joy of God in your life and you can see it in other people's lives and you have an understanding and you know God's given you an ability to give this to someone else, how much better could you feel? You could fill this room with money and it couldn't replace what I felt when I read that letter the other day, the one I just read to you this morning, from that man in Washington. Because I know I helped him something in his life. And I might not fulfill the rest of his life in what he hears from me, but I have put something in his life that has helped him see a little further, to see a little higher into the kingdom, a little better into the plan of God in his life. Someone else can come along and water that seed too, can't they? Who's to say that I wasn't watering someone else's seed? Right? See? So all I know is I'm doing something to help somebody. And Paul made this statement one time. He said, I would be accursed from Christ myself if I could just win my brethren, his Jewish brethren, to the Lord. See? Well, you know, I'd feel the same way. If I could win all the people into the kingdom to the truth, church folk that I've been with in my life, it'd be worth the death to bring them to where God's brought me. It'd be worth it. Because this flesh is going to die anyway. It don't make no difference about it. Verse 2. I counsel you to keep the king's commandment and that in regard of the oath of God. Well, it's not really what it says. Literally it says, I keep or I guard and protect the king's what? Same word before, his word. Debar. I keep his word. He said, I don't counsel you. He's saying, I keep the king's commandment or the king's word. Who's speaking here? Solomon's speaking, but who's speaking through him?
Christ.
It's the Christ. And who is that? It's you. This, when you read this, this should be the words that's in your heart. I keep the king's word. I guard and protect the king's word. How do I guard and protect the word? Question. How do I guard and protect the word?
Keep it in your heart.
How do you keep it in your heart?
Study.
Reading, study, reinforcing, speaking the word of God right back into yourself. Encouraging yourself. See? You can't read this word one time, put it to memory, and never do it again. I know a man who calls himself a pastor in another county in Ohio, and he said he went to school about 20 years ago and for 2 years, and he studied the Bible. He don't need to study it no more. And he's as ignorant as that statement was because he doesn't know God. He knows about some words on a piece of paper. And all this is ink on a piece of tree. That's all that is. That's not God. But these words can introduce me to God. I hate to see people like that, but especially a man that people look to for some kind of guidance, and he has none. He doesn't take enough time to spend with God every day to know what God wants or anything about His Word. But he said he keeps the king's word, and that not in regard, but because of the oath of God. He said, I'm keeping it because of the oath of God. You know what the oath of God is? It's in Exodus 20. Does anybody know what it is? What is in Exodus chapter 20? Huh?
The
promises, you're right. They're not commandments any longer. But when we come to the truth, it's the promises. Thou shalt not. They're not a commandment any longer, but they're the promises of God. Okay? That's what it's all about. Because God made an oath, and He said, you will not. Right? All 10 of those. You won't want to. You know why? Because with the mind of Christ in you, how could you think about killing somebody? How could you think about having a lust after somebody else's property? How could you have envy or jealousy toward anybody with the mind of Christ? Come on. That's the oath that He's talking about. That's how you keep it. Because I know I can judge myself. And Paul said, when I judge myself, I'm judged of who? No man. No man judges you when you judge yourself, and you only judge yourself by Christ. He is the standard that we're measured against. So if I measure myself with the standard of Christ, if I have a jealousy in my heart, I can judge myself in that. Do you realize that? Because I know that's not the heart of Christ. Is it? Hatred, bitterness, envy, anything, lying, stealing, cheating, you know, anything you can think of. Are those the nature of Christ?
No.
Well, then what should I do with them? See, should someone have to come to me and say, Dave, you've done something bad, you're cheating somebody? How long does it take you to know you're doing something wrong? As soon as you think about it. You don't even have a chance to do it. You're already knowing your mind. You've already been judged in that thing. So all I have to do is comply to the Spirit, that inner guidance system that's within each one of us. We've all got it. See, we just have to obey what it's telling us. If I know it's wrong, then what should I do? Do an about face and go the other direction. Do something differently. Do something differently. That's how I guard and protect and know. If I know God's nature, I can't do anything contrary to that. Because all I'm doing then is just saying, no, God, you're not telling me the truth. That's when that billy goat religion comes in. But, come on. That's when it starts. When something is contrary to our flesh and we start trying to justify what we want to do instead of what God says. And we know justifying is what? Just a lion. Right? Huh? Sooner or later they'll catch on. Okay. Verse 3, be not hasty to go out of his sight. Stand not in an evil what? You know what that word is? Debar. Stand not an evil word. W-O-R-D is what it should be. Stand not in an evil word. What word should we be standing in? Not a good word, but a God word. See? Don't stand in an evil word. Because he that does all that pleases him, or all that he desires, because he does whatsoever pleases him, or all that he desires. See, if I stand in that place of evil, what am I going to do? If I stand in an evil word, the words of my heart come from my heart instead of from the mind of Christ. What am I going to do? Anything that I feel like doing. But if I have the mind of Christ and I listen to that heart in me that he's placed within me, what am I going to do? Whatever the Master desires. See, not my will, but his will be done. See, my mind has been changed. See, my mind has been changed. That's where Paul wrote and said, if this Spirit that dwells in you, that dwelt in Christ, dwell in you, he shall what? Quicken or make alive your mortal body. You know how my mortal body came alive? Because that Spirit that he had in him is in me. But you know how it made me alive? I recognized it. It wasn't Dave. It was Christ in me, my hope of glory. And it's not even a hope any longer. You know why? It's a reality. I don't have to wait to get glory sometime when I fly away into the heavens. He says in Romans 8, whomever he called, he glorified. Come on. Said it, didn't he? Verse 30 in Romans 8. He said if he called him, he justified him, and he glorified him. Now, did he say he's going to? Justified, past tense. He already did. See, we've got to come to this and understand it's a done deal. We can't believe in the finished work of the cross. The cross said it is finished. It said to your flesh and to my flesh, you're finished. Your destiny is returned to the earth from where you came, and that Spirit in you will return to God who gave it. That's what that cross says. And everything that's been done prior to that is finished. And everything done since then is just works of the flesh. There's nothing but flesh being worked today. God finished the work. Where the word of the King is, there is what? Power. And who may say unto him, what are you doing? Who can say to God, what are you doing? First of all, most people ain't got the nerve to say it. If you know who you're talking to. And secondly, if you know who you're talking to, you're not interested in that. With God in my presence, I'm not interested in asking him what he's doing with me or doing to my life or why is he doing something this way or that way. I just want to worship Him. I can't get in God's presence without worshiping Him. And I don't mean just as we do when we sing and worship and God's presence comes and we weep and we can feel that presence. I don't mean just that. I want to worship Him every day of my life. In everything that I do, I want it to bring honor and glory to Him. Because when it goes to Him, He's given it back to you. Everything you do for Him is returned to you. When you give Him honor and glory, He's only going to bestow it right back on you. And that's not the motivation to do it. It's just because He's so wonderful. It's so good. I don't even know if you can hear the words I'm saying, but He just, it's so wonderful you can't even put it into words. I don't know how to express the feeling of being in God's presence. There's no way, there's no human words in any language that can describe what it's like to stand in His presence. There's no word to say it. We can come up with words that's kind of something, but they can't say it. The only way I can say is you got to be there to understand it. You know, you got to just be there. What's that thing I always say? You just got to be there. You know, you had to be there. You just have to be there to understand what the presence of God is. No one else can tell you, and it's not about goosebumps or goosebumps on your goosebumps or goosebumps on those goosebumps that was on those goosebumps. It's not about that. I'm talking about standing in the presence of God and knowing it's God. It's not about emotions. It's God. God isn't emotions. God has emotions. We have emotions, but God is God. That's why there's two different words, God and emotions. Okay? And when you stand in the presence of God, I'm sure you will have emotions. But don't let the emotions be the center point. The center point is Him. He's the focus. Okay? Whoso keeps or guards or protects the commandments or the words of God, what? But here go emotions again, shall feel. The word feel is not right. It's the word yada. What's it mean? Hebrew word yada. K-N-O-W. Look at this. Whosoever guards or protects the commandment shall know no evil. There's that word thing again. What is it? Dabar. Word. So it says this way, whosoever keeps, guards, or protects the commandments or the words of God shall know no evil words. Hello, did you hear that? If I guard the word of God in my heart, I will know no evil words. That means I can't be saying bad things about somebody like Lois read earlier. I can't be speaking evil words out of one side of my mouth and blessing somebody out of the other side of my mouth. Do you hear me? There's the difference. When we guard and protect this in our heart, I heard it years ago when I was first starting church, garbage in, garbage out. Put the word in, the word will come out. And that's the truth. If you spend time in the Word of God, and I know everybody's not called to do what I'm doing, I understand that. But if you'll just give God a little bit of time every day, just like Ed said earlier, he said he was having a good week, right? What was his reasoning for having a good week? He was reading the Word of God. He said, I finally got settled down where I can read the Word this week. And he's been so peaceful this week, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was really amazing. It really made a change in his life. No. You've got to get time to get in His presence. You've got to spend time with Him so He can change. See, when we say blessed, it's not that, whoo, I got a feeling. No. That's not the blessing. The blessing is the peace that He puts in your life. The boldness that comes in your life brings such a peace. When I'm not listening to what somebody told me, and I'm not going around saying, you know what somebody told me about God? You know what I tell them? You know what God told me? Is there a difference in that statement? I heard God. When you hear God, you won't have to worry about all this stuff anymore. There won't be any intimidation, no fear. You can stand boldly and very peacefully in the midst of all the turmoil going around you and just smile. Because you know God. This isn't about what somebody tells you about God. I can tell you about God, but it won't do you no good. You have to experience God. You have to. I'm gonna get lit here in a minute. And a wise man's heart, what? literally knows both time and judgment. There's a key right there. Most of the church has no clue what God's going to do. Some of them might say, well, I know God's going to do this. Yeah, but when? A wise man knows both time and judgment. He knows when. See? Somebody's going to do surgery on somebody. Going to do open heart surgery. Well, the time is Monday morning at 6 o'clock. So Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, we just throw him on the table. We know God's going to have surgery. Let's just cut his chest open, check his heart out now. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? If we was going to do heart surgery on Jay tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, we say, hey, we got nothing to do. Let's throw him on the table and cut him open today, see what he looks like inside. What's going to happen to him on that table? He's probably going to die. And that's what the church does. They do more destruction by running off and supposing they know what God does instead of waiting on God. If God doesn't tell you to do anything, what you should do?
Nothing.
Nothing. The church world says just do, do, do. We know what do-do is. And it shouldn't be around us. We need to listen to God. Be still and know that He's God. Don't worry about trying to accomplish something. Wait until He tells you what to do. Then do it. And you'll get it right. Because to every purpose there is a time and a judgment, therefore, or literally because of this, the misery or the evil of humanity is great upon him. See there? Because they don't know when God's doing something, they're just trying to do something to be doing something. What's great upon them? Misery and evil is upon them because they're trying to suppose what God's doing. I'd never suppose what God's going to do. If I don't know what God's going to do, you know what you'll find me doing? Absolutely nothing. And I can rest in that. See? I can go fishing if I want to, if God didn't tell me to do nothing else. There's preachers running around town saying, oh, every morning you got to get up at 5 o'clock and be in the Word of God before, you know, early in the morning. You got to seek Him while it's early. God's not talking about time in the day. Time's not important to God in a day. Seek Him early in your life. I don't have to get up at 5 o'clock to seek God. First of all, I don't have to seek God. Why? He's in us. See? Why do I have to hunt God down? He's not lost. If anybody's lost, it had to be me. It should be God seeking me. The book even says, there's nothing in man that seeks after God. We don't want God. Man don't, but the Spirit of God in me wants God. He wants to go back to His Father. Okay? Sounds to me like because there's every purpose, there's a time. That sounds like Ecclesiastes 3, don't it? There's a time and a season and a purpose for everything under the sun. Mm-hmm. Look at verse 7. Because He knows not that which shall be, because who can tell Him when it shall be? Man don't know. Man is, why do you think right now today this 900 number, all these psychics are ranting and raving on the airwaves so much today? Because the people of God have been scared to death by the church. All these so-called prophets and apostles and all these things running all over the country saying they're godly men and women. They're scaring people to death with their suppositions and telling people of what God said and they don't have a clue. And so everybody's trying to seek a word because the church can't give them a word because all this stuff is going to come and happen on them. And guess what? They've been telling them for 40 or 50 or 60 years it's going to happen any minute, and it hasn't happened. They've heard their great-grandparents say it, and their grandparents, and their parents say it, and then their mothers and fathers say it, and all this other stuff just keeps on going, okay? And there's no end to it, is there? They don't know. They just keep putting another date, just push it back a little bit and a little bit more and a little bit more, hoping everybody will forget about all the dates they prophesied before. That's why there's a problem. They don't know anything about God. They don't know anything about His timing. And they're in fear. That's what they're driven by. Fear and the love of money is all they're driven for. Verse 8 says, there is no man that has power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit. That word retain means to restrict or to prohibit the Spirit. That means that there's nothing you or I can do to stop the Spirit of God from doing what He wants to do. Well, then what are we wrestling for? Huh? Can anyone give me a legitimate answer on that? Why are we wrestling with God if there's nothing I can do to prohibit or restrain the Spirit of God from doing what He wants? Do you see it kind of as futile? Maybe as vanity? Huh? Could that possibly be what it is? It's just my natural man wanting to wrestle with the Spirit of God. Neither has he power. This is about the man. There's no man that has power in the day of death. No power. If God says it's your time, what time is it? It's time. Can you change that?
No.
You can't do that. And he said there is no discharge in that war. The word discharge is literally a release. There's no release from this war. There's no way that I can get away from it in the natural. In the natural, I will struggle until the day I die. Anybody that God has not given the release to, what will they do all the days of their life? They'll struggle in this war. There's no release. But see, I know something, and you do too. It's within your spirit. In 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 and 9 or 2 and 9, 1 and 9 or 2, 1 and 9, he says, eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. Next verse kind of takes that in apart a little bit. But God has revealed to us by His Spirit. And by His Spirit being into you, you know what He's revealed to you? All things. That's why John could say in John 2 and 20, 1 John 2, 20, that you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. Because Christ, by the Spirit, has revealed all things to you. Now, does that mean your natural man knows them? No, but your spirit does. That's what I'm trying to encourage you to separate the difference between. Know the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man. God's not talking about the natural man. He's talking about the spirit man. And if you get a hold of this, the struggle is over. There's the release. There's the peace of God in our lives. Oh, Father, help me with this. Neither shall wickedness deliver those that are, what? King James says, given to it, or literally mastered by it. So the ones that are consumed by doing all these natural things, see, There's no way to deliver. They can't deliver them. I can do all the worldly things in the world. Can it deliver me from my struggle? One thing can. Giving up. Just giving up. And letting God do what He wants in your life, and the struggle's over. It's just over. He said, all this I have seen, verse 9, applied and applied unto my heart, unto every work that is done under the sun. Guess what? He said, every work done under the sun. Is there anything he's not talking about? He's talking about every natural work and thing that anybody could ever do in the world. He said there is a time wherein one man rules or dominates over another to his own hurt. Oh God, if a church could get a hold of this one. How many people in church want to rule and dominate your life? That's what church is about. Get your ducks in a row and do what we tell you, or we'll kick you off the board and put you in hell. We'll cook your goose, right? That's all they want to do, is line you up and make you look like them. God didn't make you look like them. He didn't make you to do like them. He made you to be as individual as your fingerprint. You are an individual, and only your maker can tell you what you're supposed to do. I can't tell you what you're supposed to do. I won't try to tell you what you're supposed to do. I can show you what God says, and it's up to you and the God within you to tell you what to do. But the whole world out here wants to dominate and control. Why do you think there's so many wars in the world? Somebody wanting to control somebody else, or their wealth, or some possessions. Why do you think there's 20-some thousand denominations in the world? Because somebody wanted to control somebody in what they thought, and make them do what they say. There's why all the division. Why can't you just accept people as they are? God made them that way. I don't care if they chew tobacco and running down their face and smell. What difference does it make? Yeah, I like to be around nice, clean people, but you know what? There's some awful good people out there that live in some pretty bad situations. They're caught in situations that we could be in just as easily. In the blink of an eye, one of us could be homeless. We could have nothing and be on the street just like some of these other people. There's some fantastic people out there if you take the time to get to know them. Just sit down and talk to them. You have to lay your pride aside and reach out and touch that humanity that needs life. See, we can't sit here and say, oh, we're the good people, and all the rest of them, well, God will just have to pick him up best he can. That's what we are to be. We are to be the ones that reaches out to that humanity that's been disposed of by our society. Not about all the pretty people. It's about God's people, and every one of them are his. If we don't see this, we're just wasting time playing church. 10. And so I saw the wicked buried who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also transitory and unsatisfactory. He said, I've seen them come to the church and leave. That's what he's saying. And you know what? When they're gone and they die and they're buried, they're forgotten. See, the holy city is God. That's us. And they come and they go. Verse 11, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of sons of man or sons of humanity is fully set in them to do evil. There's why everybody's running rampant. God's grace and mercy is why they're running rampant. God says, I have grace and mercy. And Paul said, should we sin because grace abounds? God forbid, let it never be. But see, if our heart is already evil, what's it going to say? Ha ha, license, I can do anything I want to. The law of God is a greater law than any law that was written in the law of Moses. It is more binding and it's more restrictive, but I love it. God's love has put me into a bound, like Paul said, I am a bond slave of Christ. He didn't say I'm a servant of God. He said I'm a bond slave. That's what his word meant. The Greek word was doulos. I'm a bond slave. You can pierce my ear. You can put that hole through your ear like they did in the first century. And all that was saying was, I'm his now. I belong to him. You know why? Because I can hear him. When you can hear your master, your maker, you won't worry about who you belong to. All you want to do is hear his voice. It'll change you. Yeah, I know sometimes you wrestle with it, but you know what? If you'll just be still and know he's God, he'll change your life. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the hearts of the sons of men or humanity is fully in them to do evil. Ecclesiastes 3, 9 through 11 says that God set the world, or that worldly thinking, in their hearts so they couldn't find out the end from the beginning. God's doing this thing. He's in control of the whole thing. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, because even I know that it shall be well with them that fear God or reverence God, which are reverent in his presence. It'll be well with them, even though they do a lot of things. You know, David was a perfect example. King David was a murderer. He was an incestuous man. He was an adulteress. Fornicator. I mean, now you can come up with all kinds of names for him. But you know, I can show you in the book, it says he was a man after God's own heart. He was written up as the best king that they ever had. But he did all them bad things. And you know what David said about that? I was shaped in my sins and iniquities. He knew that all the mistakes he made and learned a lesson from them. How long did it take David every time he sinned? Every time, what did he say quickly? Father, forgive me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Okay? He learned something. He learned that these worldly thinking things we do separates us from him. And he could feel the separation of the Spirit from him. Even though it was in his heart, he knew he had done wrong. Mistakes are great if you learn from them. But if we stay in that same cycle of repeating and repeating and repeating, it won't do you any good. You'll just go on down. Mistakes are good if you'll learn from them. God gave them to them. They're a blessing to us, a great gift. But it shall not be well, verse 13, with the wicked. Neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he is not reverent in God's presence. What's the life of the wickedness? Now, we're not talking about people here. Come on, got to get beyond this thing. We're not talking about people. We're talking about the wicked. What are we talking about? The carnal mind in us. That's the thing that shall not prolong its days. Not people. That's not what we're talking about. It'd be real confusing here if that's what we're talking about and what's being taught. There is a vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be or exists just or righteous men according to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. See, there's righteous men who do what? They're punished and die for nothing. They didn't do anything, right? That's what, you know, they get punished like a wicked man. And then he says, to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. And I said, this also is vanity. So there's righteous men that get blamed just like they were wicked, and there's wicked men that get blessed just like the righteous. Do you see that in your life? Don't you see people that are doing everything bad in the world and saying, my God, how in the world can they be blessed? See, we think they're blessed. Well, we don't know what's going on inside them, do we? That war inside of them is something only they know about. And see, I'm not concerned with them. There's only one that I'm concerned with, and that's this one. And if all of us was just concerned with the one, just the one, get ourselves lined out, then we can be able to do what God wants us to do, to manifest His Son to the rest of the world. Until we get there, we'll never do anything but bring confusion. Okay? Verse 15. Then I commended mirth. Does anybody know what mirth is? Huh? It's joy. It's pleasure. He said, I commended joy because humanity has no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, because it shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life which God gives to him under the sun. Joy shall abide with you with your labor. It's okay to enjoy it. There's people that want to heap up and store up and just hold on to everything for eternity. It ain't going to happen. Somebody's going to take it away anyway. The thing in Psalms that says, riches and wealth take wings like a dove and fly off to heaven. Okay? Wealth of the wicked is heaped up for the righteous. It's going back to where it belongs anyway. When I applied my heart to know wisdom, verse 16, and to see the busyness that is done upon the earth, all the business that's been done on the earth. Is that a bunch of it? He said, I saw all this. Because also there is that neither day nor night sees sleep with his eyes. Who's he talking about? Who never sees sleep? That's right, God. He said, I saw all the busyness on the earth. We know that's God. But I see this also as a person struggling. Someone who has got all this busyness in their mind and they never sleep. You know there's people on this earth that really never sleep? I mean, they lay down and their body closes their eyes close, but their mind is running a million miles a minute. And the peace of God that comes by knowing His Word. Oh my God. I can't even tell you what it's like to be able to lay down and go to sleep day or night. And that's what God has brought into my life because of this Word. That's what each one of us desire. You don't have to tell me whether you desire it or not. I know you desire it. My mind used to torment me day and night, and it can't anymore. That's where the Scripture says, here come the devil, and he have no part in me. Hello. He has no place in me. You know why he has no place in me? Because I know it. I know he has no place in me. There's no more, well, maybe I deserve it. Hogwash. We're sons of God. We don't deserve that punishment. And we don't have to take that kind of torment. We're free people. You know how I know that? Because he said, I have set you free. I don't deserve none of that punishment no more. Why did he die on the tree? For the sins of the whole world. Does that conclude you? Included me. So guess what? Why should I feel guilt and condemnation for any of that? I don't. I'm free. Okay. Verse 17. Then I beheld all the work of God that humanity cannot possibly find out the work that is done under the sun. See? Cannot possibly. That's what the language says. He cannot possibly. There's actually two words there. Lo yokol. Two words. And it means cannot possibly find out. Sounds like Ecclesiastes 3, 9, 10, 11. God placed it in heart so they couldn't find out. Yet he shall not find out, though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it out. See, it's not by labor that you're going to find this, is it? I can work till my fingers go to a bone. I can starve myself. I can do all the things that religion tell me. And I can never have that relationship with God that I want until he chooses. Didn't it say we can't restrain the Spirit? We can't prohibit him or anything? We can't make him do anything? It's all about God's timing. And when God chooses to reveal to us the things he wants us to know, he'll pull the veil back. How many of you has it happened to? God just, you're minding your own business, doing whatever you think you want to be doing, and all of a sudden, the veil pops open, something just blows up in your mind. You didn't ask for it, did you? And that's the way God does things. He just doesn't ask. He does. Because he is. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, or literally boast that he knows it, yet shall he not be able to find it. You know how many people stand in the pulpit boasting to know what God's saying? And they're coming up with all kinds of carnal thinking, all kinds of intellectual ways of slicing and dicing and filleting this word, and it has no life in it. I mean, they can preach, I guarantee you. There's a lot, most of them can preach better than me. That isn't the style of man. If you want to rate them, I'm not a fancy speaker. But I'll tell you the truth, and I do have that. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. And there's a difference. If I was trying to impress you, I'd be saying all them fancy words to, so you couldn't understand me to start with, because I wouldn't know anything to tell you to start with. That's right. Until he reveals them to us. It was like he said, Paul said in Corinthians, he has revealed it by his Spirit, hasn't he? We're not in the darkness any longer, like the song at the beginning, Bub. We're not in darkness. We're in the light. Now, didn't Jesus even say this? He was the light that lights every man that comes into the world. Have we come into the world? Then guess what we have been? We've been lit. We have been lit by the light of Christ. All of us have been lit. There's no reason for darkness anymore except the condemnation that's been put on us by a religious system. Oh man, if we can get a hold of this thing. Oh. I'm finished. Anybody else? Anything? Okay, question?